Welcome to the Awake Church Podcast. At Awake, our mission is simple. Know God, take action. We pray this podcast will help you on that journey.
I'm going to dive in here today. My hope is to encourage you today, and that this would also be something that you could encourage other people with. As we have a perspective and gain the perspective that's much larger than our own, that's we want God's perspective, right? If we could see things the way that God sees them, man, our lives every day would be so different, to see things through his eyes. And so my hope today is that we do some of that. And I want to talk about some of the value of humanity, of human life, of your life and my life. In the ancient world, and in many places today around the world, human life has very little value. It's been that way for a very, very long time. There are many dictators, rulers of the past, some right now, where humans are just throwaways, used as pawns to grow their own kingdom or their lands or possessions or whatever that might be. That's happened for a long time, to acquire more, to exploit other people. Even in our own Western culture, even though there's been a increased, I would say, value on life, especially those nations that have taken some of the Judeo-Christian values as part of the fabric of their nation, there's a value for life. Because of that's what God's value is. But in the same time, of course, we know through like abortion would be one of the biggest ones, slavery would be another one, that life was diminished when viewed through some eyes on other people. And that's just the way that it has been historically, whether it was the Pharaoh in Egypt commanding infanticide for the Jewish boys, or Hitler of all Jews. The Hutus of the Tutsis in Rwanda, if you remember that. Slavery throughout history. And of course, abortion, particularly in these last 60 years or so, where the baby growing inside the womb was not seen as human. In fact, that would be a common theme through every time and every season and every dictator or ruler that has slaughtered other people, it's always been to dehumanize the ones that you're about to slaughter. Because if you can make them not human, then it seems justified to exterminate them. Or if you make them not human, it seems justified to enslave them. So that has been the enemy's plan throughout time, using various people to do that very thing. Dehumanization, that common denominator, reducing the value of a human. But God is so very different in the way that he sees people. His value system is entirely different than the world's value system. God has placed the highest value on the descendants of Adam and Eve. The highest value. Those who are made in his own image. God has a huge value on all that he made, but the highest is on the people that he made. Life is precious. And the value on each life is higher than I think you may imagine or I imagine to God. In Ezekiel 18:2, God says, to Ezekiel, for I take no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies. Anyone, declares the Lord. Therefore, repent and live. God doesn't want anyone to die. He has a love for all people. 2 Peter 3:9, I read this recently when we were doing the Peter series. Not wishing that any should perish, but all should reach repentance. And then we have Psalm 139. I want to read this, a few verses of this, which we are very familiar with this passage. Verse 16 says, your eyes, David speaking of God, Your eyes have seen my unformed substance. Unformed, speaking of when he was in his mother's womb. And in your book, there's another book besides the Bible. There are a few, actually. One was the Lamb's Book of Life. But I think this book is the book of David's life that God has. In your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. I hadn't lived one yet. Yet, God wrote in a book all the days of my life before I started them. Pretty amazing. Verse 17, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. In addition to the words you wrote about every day of my life before I lived it, how precious are your thoughts to me. O God, how vast is the sum of your thoughts. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. Have you ever been to the beach and held up a hand of sand, one handful, and tried to count the grains in one handful as thousands slip between your fingers back to the beach? Nearly impossible. It's impossible to count the amount of sand on the planet. There is no way anyone could. Yet, that is compared to the amount and the number of thoughts that God has for every single one of us. Every grain of sand represents a thought that God has for you. David writes this, I believe that your unique story is written and it includes a whole epic story. Not part of one. And it's greater than anything that Hollywood could ever dream about. Your story. The one that God wrote in your book. The person that you look at in the mirror has been preserved through an epic story throughout history that's beyond imagination. I want to tell you a bit of a story about yourself and about myself. I'm going to first mention just a page or so from my book. So I was born in January of 1969, the year we landed on the moon, to Philip and Linda Peterson. But that wasn't my beginning, the day I was born. To get my beginning, you'd have to go all the way back to Adam and Eve, right? And then to Noah and Abraham and Moses and all the lineage all the way down, although I don't know that I have Jewish heritage. But my story goes at least back to Noah and Shem, Ham, or Japheth. One of those three guys on the ark, we all came from. Every single one of us, right? And just one of the stories of my life, when I was in my early 20s, I was working for the government. I was on assignment. I was undercover. I was in Eastern Europe, I can say that much. And I'd been working for several days, and I got a day off. So I decided to do something fun. And I'd been watching. I knew that in the town there were helicopter rides for tourists. So I decided to take a helicopter ride up into the mountains. And as I was going to do that morning, I changed my mind last minute and did a different tour and went and visited a castle. When we got back from the castle tour, the news was talked about all around where I was staying, is that the helicopter crashed and killed everyone on board. All the tourists died. Now, I don't remember the super strong feeling as to why I didn't want to get on the helicopter that day, but I didn't, and I'm here today. And if I would have gotten on the helicopter that morning, Awake Church wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be sitting here. You'd be somewhere else, another church. Just one tiny little glimpse into a bit of my story and God somehow protecting me through that situation. Going back one chapter in my book. My dad decided to be an electrician early on, and when he was 18 or 19 years old, he was underneath a house working full-time as an electrician, just out of high school. And he was underneath the house in a crawl space, all by himself, a vacant house, an extension cord from the garage into the crawl space, and he was drilling when he, you know, the ground was damp, began to get electrocuted. And if you've ever been shocked or electrocuted, in a sense, it, you know, as your muscles work through electrical impulses from your brain, when you have a lot of voltage going through your body, your muscles all tense up, and he could not do anything other than cry to Jesus inwardly. Couldn't even say anything as he was being shocked to death. And all of a sudden, it just stopped. Took him a long time for his muscles to begin to relax. When he crawled out of the crawl space into the garage of the vacant house that no one was around, the extension cord was pulled out from the wall in the garage. No one around. Now, that was before he got married. That's before I was born. I'm the oldest of four kids, but God saved him that day, and that in part led to me being here today. And then on my mom's side, her dad, my grandfather, was in World War II. He was in the Navy. He was in the Pacific Theater on the USS Portland, which is a cruiser. He manned a 5-inch gun. And one day, you can read this in the archives, I've read this, that three Japanese submarines surrounded his ship and fired torpedoes, three torpedoes that hit his ship. And every single one of those torpedoes just went ding, 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 not one of them detonated. My grandfather then got out of the war, came to America, didn't know the Lord, didn't tell he was in his 80s, was an alcoholic, drank a lot. Later, he then crashed his car into a tree, went through the windshield just before they had tempered glass. The glass lacerated his jugular. But the accident was right in front of an EMT's house. And he heard the collision, ran outside in the night. This is in the early, or probably mid-40s, just 45, 46, somewhere in there, and held his jugular together with his fingers through the night. No cell phones, couldn't get a hold of anybody. They're out in a remote little area. In the morning, someone saw them, came, and I have a picture of my grandfather sitting up in a hospital bed with a story being told in the newspaper, how he survived. Then he got married, had my mom, or my grandma did. And I'm here. Just three little stories, tiny ones that I know about, and who knows how many hundreds of more stories there are in my line going all the way back to Adam and Eve, of near misses, of things that almost happened but didn't, of miraculous circumstances where God intervened. My life story is full of them, and so is yours. You can probably think of a handful right now that you know about, not to mention the many, many others. In the beginning, when God created the universe, stars, planets, our earth, its oceans, mountains, rivers, then the vegetation and the animals. Lastly, he breathed life into Adam, became a living being. Created Eve. And through them, two people have now turned into 8 billion plus people. You could put that graph up for a second here. This is what someone came up with. Don't know how accurate it is, but they just went from 5,500 years before Jesus, as around the time of Adam and Eve, and population. Of course, the generations back then were over 100 years per generation, because you got guys like Methuselah who are living 969 years old. They had wives and children and lots of children, and who knows what the population was. Some people estimate that the population was around 8 billion people when the flood came, because death and disease and all that weren't on the earth like they are now, and they were living so long. So who knows? You ever thought about that one? Nonetheless, we have no idea if that's true. But at the flood, what we know is whatever the population was got reduced to what? 8. Went back down to 8. And then, since then, 3,500 years before Jesus, all the way through, you see this line of population growth, and it is fairly flat. Lots of wars, lots of conflicts, lots of diseases, a lot of issues, problems. It wasn't until, well, let me say this, around the time of Jesus, what we know is that there were around 200 million people on the planet at the time of Jesus, 200 million. There are nearly twice that in the United States right now. So global population at the time of Jesus, 200 million. Then you get, it's not till the 1800s, early 1800s, when the global population finally hits 1 billion people, the first billion, 200 years ago. And then look what's happened since then. And that was really around the second agricultural revolution. Food being available, people weren't starving to death as much. That's in part why the population took off like crazy. But look what has happened. Global population, 1800s, and now. Look at this. Right now, every 12 years, we add 1 billion people to the planet. Every 12 years. It took, 5,000 to get to the first billion? And now every 12 years, we have add 1 billion to our population. Incredible what's going on with the population and with humanity. But I'm saying all this to say, you, your lineage, your ancestors, throughout this, somehow survived. From Adam and Eve to Noah, 10 generations. Noah to Abraham, 10 generations. Abraham to David, 14 generations. David to Josiah, 14 generations. Josiah to the birth of Jesus, 14 more generations. And Jesus to where we are now, somewhere over 50 generations between Jesus and where we are now. You have a lot of grandparents. I have a lot of grandparents. Ones we've never seen. Well over 100 set of grandparents going all the way back. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 6, this is in the Amplified, says, remember, this is Solomon writing, remember your creator earnestly now. Now remember him. Before the silver cord of life is snapped apart, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, and the whole circulatory system of the blood ceases to function. Then shall the dust out of which God made man's body return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return to God who gave it. Solomon is speaking using metaphor, a silver cord. This represented, the silver cord was a cord that would hang from the ceiling of your home, and at the end of it was a lamp or a light that lit up the room. And Solomon uses this as a picture of that silver cord being your life, and I'm going to say all the generations between you and Adam make up that silver cord. And then here you are as the lamp here at the bottom. And he's saying before this cord breaks and your lamp is extinguished, remember God. Remember your creator. Give honor and praise to the creator. Recognize that there is a God. Follow him, serve him. Before that changes and your spirit is released from your lamp, from your body, and returns to God. It's a symbol. It's interesting, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 10 says that Levi paid tithes because he was in the loins of Abraham. How about that scripture? Levi paid tithes because he was in the law. Levi was several generations after Abraham. Yet because Abraham paid tithes, Levi was in the loins of Abraham, he also paid tithes. How about that one for the way God sees things? There's a connection between the generations. This string, silver cord, is connected to who you and I are. The light that you now have means that your silver cord has been attached for thousands and thousands of years without breaking. From the beginning until now, you and I have had somewhere around 150 sets of grandparents, great-grandparents, great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandparents. If your ancestral silver cord of life before you, well, actually in this silver cord, it's made up of a lot of different people. Certainly slaves, since in the ancient world, two-thirds, around Jesus' time, two-thirds of the world were enslaved. Two-thirds. Slavery was not a new thing. Slavery's been around for a long thousands and thousands of years. So certainly we have all have slaves in our lineage, our heritage behind us, possibly royalty, who knows? Certainly shepherds, prostitutes, like Jesus' line. Rahab is in the line of Jesus, remember? So she was a prostitute. I bet we all have some of those as well. Brick masons, warriors, farmers, seamstresses, peasants, poets, worshipers, musicians, sailors, carpenters, iron workers, fishermen, idol worshipers, God worshipers. And one common thing with every one of your ancestors is they were all parents. Every single one of them. Or the silver cord would have been broken. Right? In the last 6,000 years that your ancestors have been on the earth, the seed of you, like Levi was a seed of Abraham, the seed of you navigated wars, one massive worldwide flood, thousands of smaller floods, diseases, plagues, earthquakes, tsunamis, famines, ethnic cleansings, murders, abortion attempts, slavery, etc. Let me give you a few stats on some death tolls along the line that your ancestors made it through. In the year 2350, that was when the flood wiped out that population down to 8 people. In the year 541 AD, after Jesus, what's known as the first black plague or the Justinian plague, which I don't remember ever hearing about when I was in school, but this plague was massive. It took 40% of the earth's population, one plague, 40% of the earth's population, 100 million people. From 541 to 760. In the year 1300 AD, of course, we know about the Black Plague, kind of the second Black Plague, really. 25 million people in Europe, 75 million worldwide. Population wasn't that great. Wiped out a huge amount of people. In the 1700s, a famine killed 10 million people in Asia. In the 1800s, another famine killed another 10 million in Asia. 1931 in China, 2 to 4 million people die in floods. In the 20th century, wars and communism combined killed 170 million people. 170 million people. Through all this, your lineage made it through. Psalm 91, verse 7 says, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. For you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. For he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all of your ways. Somehow, miraculously, beyond stats, all of your ancestors, every single one of them, live long enough to pass the torch of life to the next generation. Every single one. Maybe it was minutes or days before they died, but they gave birth to one of your ancestors, and the torch of life just kept getting passed on and on. And then how about this? When your parents were together sexually at your conception, just think about your conception right now, there's between 20 and 150 million sperm. Little biology, hang with me. 20 and 150 million sperm that begin a race. It's a 10 centimeter race. But the size of sperm are so small that that's equivalent, 10 centimeters, to 40 miles for you and I, full size. 40 mile race to swim. Of course, no arms, so it's what that is. Huh? As these sperm, 150 million, think about this, going 10 centimeters and they're all going for one egg. And only one out of 150 million makes it. Now talk about your conception of you. When your mommy and daddy were together, 150 million, you were the one that made it.
That's right.
If you've never thought you've won anything in your life, you're wrong. Dead wrong. You won the prize. You got to the egg, you made it in, you became a person that day. A person that day. And the DNA passed down from every single one of your ancestors, all the way back to Adam and Eve, all combined into you. And a new being was formed right there. Now think about that, the chances of you making it, one out of 150 million. Take that to your parents, each one of your parents. They were the ones that won the race. Then their parents won the race. What is 150 million times 150 sets of grandparents all the way back to Adam and Eve? The chances that you are astronomical. You shouldn't be here, really. Just thinking of it statistically, but yes, you should, because it's not about statistics, it's about God. And it's about the value of your life. Your life has tremendous value. And your value is directly related to the ticket price for your journey through the sands of time from Adam and Eve to today. That ticket price is high. Really high. Not just, and we'll talk about that in a minute, what Jesus has done for us, but that what God has done to preserve you so that you would be alive. Remember, there's a book written about your life before you're ever born. So God had to ensure that you would get here, since he wrote all of your days down in a book before there was one. So God's been working overtime to get you to the planet. And my guess is maybe your or my angels might be a little banged up. Making sure, not really, they're pretty strong. Making sure that you would get here. Who knows what they have been through to make sure that your ancestors lived another day to give life to who would become you later on. There's huge planning. There's huge amount of resource and effort and billions of thoughts of God that have gone into you. That's incredible. You realize that on the day you were born and you came out, whether it was C-section or traditional, your cry, that voice that you made, that cry, I remember it 5 times with my kids. When you hear that cry, that wasn't just the sound that your mama had been waiting to hear for 9 months to get you out of her. That was a cry your father had been waiting to hear for 6,000 years. Yours. It's true. Think about that. God had been waiting, protecting, preserving, ensuring that you would make it here. Your birth was no mistake. Your cry was waited for. In addition to that, how about your spiritual heritage? So just getting you here is one thing, and that's not easy. But then you don't know Jesus yet. So you have a parallel silver cord that is a spiritual heritage. Who knows how far back that goes? Probably to Adam and Eve also. That God has constructed that then at one point converge on the day of your salvation. And the spiritual heritage means that God was putting into people's hearts for generations and thousands of years to share the gospel, to bring the light, to share Jesus with another person. And you and I have a spiritual heritage, silver cord from the ceiling going back into eternity, and a natural one. In my spiritual heritage, I was telling you about my natural heritage, there's just a couple that I know of in my spiritual heritage. 1951, my grandma didn't know the Lord, lived a wild life, but someone invited her to a Billy Graham crusade. Portland, Oregon, 1951. She went, gave her life to Jesus. So guess what? Billy Graham is my great-grandfather, spiritually. Right? He became a part of my spiritual silver cord. Before then, back in the 30s, my great-grandfather on my dad's side, he was a bartender. He was entered into strongman competitions. He was one of the really tough guy. Didn't know Jesus. And he heard about this woman coming to town. She was pretty flamboyant and full of life. Her name was Amy Semple McPherson. You ever heard of her in Christian history? She was a fireball evangelist. Heard she was coming to town. He was interested in her for more a theatrical perspective than anything else. Went to hear her. She shares the gospel. She talks about Jesus. And he says, and he leaves. He's walking down an alley on the way home by himself. He never had a driver's license his whole life. He's walking down the alley, and he hears a voice say to him, "If you don't receive me now, you never will." He turns around to see who's talking to him, and no one is there. And he recognizes this is God. So he turned around and walked back into that room and came to the front of the altar and gave his life to Jesus. Isn't that amazing? So Amy Semple McPherson is my great-great-grandmother, spiritually. Those who carry the gospel and the word of the cross and of eternal life are spiritual parents to me, and they are. You have the same line. Well, it's different than mine, but it's going to be a spiritual, you have a spiritual heritage of the gospel going all the way back through the dark ages, through all kinds of things. You have two silver cords connected to you. And then they converged. Boy, when Jesus says, don't rejoice when demons are kicked out of people, but rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You can see why. If your situation or circumstance seems overwhelming right now in your life, view it through God's eyes. It's nothing significant. If you're wondering if your life was a mistake, it wasn't. Planning beyond comprehension has gone into just getting you into diapers. If you're concerned with trivial things like money, position, jobs, then we can be missing the entire boat. The string of time that harrowingly made it through dozens of generations and the gauntlet of peril could have snapped at any moment before you were born, but it didn't. You know, right now, for the first time in over 100 years in America, life expectancy is declining. It's been 100 years since this happened. It was going up and up and up until like 78 years old. Now it's going the other way. Did you know that? All these medical technologies and advances that we have, so many amazing things, yet why is it going backwards? It's because people don't realize the value of their own life. Drug addiction and suicide are taking that life expectancy and running it the other way. Drug overdoses. People need to know how valuable they are. Yes. We need to know that there's purpose for our life. Dr. Miles Monroe, who's with the Lord now, said the greatest tragedy in life is not death, but life without purpose. If you don't know why you're here, that is a tragedy. Because we're all here with amazing purpose, with huge planning. Why all this effort? Why all the astronomical statistics and energy, time, and perfect timing all along the way for 6,000 years? It's because of what Jesus said as to why he came to the earth. Because you are loved. Love is why. God so loved you that he gave you life, that he gave his life for your life. Today is an amazing day. It's a wonderful day to be alive. Breathing is a gift. It is an incredible gift to give thanks back to God for what he's done for me, that I got to make it through, that I won the lottery 150 times in a row. The most expensive thing that humans have ever made, money-wise, any idea what it is? The International Space Station. It's floating up in space. Over $50 billion spent on this floating piece of metal. But in God's eyes, the most expensive thing he's ever made is you. What he spent, what he's invested, what he's given for your life is far greater than the space station or what man has ever put into anything. You are called the light of the world. Your lamp is lit. You're alive. And we're supposed to shine for Jesus. Reach the lost, heal the lame, set prisoners free. Every human, here's the other thing, not only do we see the value of our own life, but whenever we see someone else on the street, the grocery store, or in a car that just cut you off, whatever it is, recognize their value. Even though they're probably completely unaware of the great value on their life. There are no throwaways with God. Everyone who's living right now is so important and incredibly valuable to God. So we can give our lives to him and let him use us to be one of these people in the spiritual silver cord of another life by encouraging, by loving, by being light. All right, there you go. There's your story. There's your story of your life. And I wanted to, if you in here, boy, you've never recognized this, and you go, I had no idea. And you want to give your life to the one who has given his life for you. Please respond to him. Not to us. This isn't about joining a church. This is about giving your life to the one who loved you first and letting him fill you, cleanse you, wash over you, fill you with purpose, hope, life, and get to live for him for the rest of your life.
Thank you for listening to today's message. For updates on future episodes, make sure to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review to let us know how we're doing. For more information about Awake Church, visit awakechurch.com.